I am Planta on the Line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. City Dreamers is the new documentary from the filmmaker Joseph Hillel. He joins me now to talk about his movie that looks at the careers of four urban architects who have shaped the way urban spaces were used in the 20th century. The four women are Phyllis Lambert, Blanche Lemko van Ginkel, Cornelia Han Oberlander, and Denise Scott Brown. Joseph looks at the work of these distinguished women, reflecting with them about their time, how they were received by their contemporaries in the mid-20th century, and how their accomplishments stand the test of time today. Whether it's Vancouver landmarks like Robson Square or the Museum of Anthropology or heritage efforts in Philadelphia and Montreal, the Seagram's Building in Manhattan, Expo 67, and so much more, these four people have contributed much to our conception of what good architecture should be and what role we all should play in what gets built. The movie screens at DOXA, the Documentary Film Festival, Sunday the 5th of May at 5:30 p.m. at SFE Woodward's, and Saturday the 11th of May at the Cinematheque at noon. Visit doxafestival.ca for tickets and information. Joseph Hillel is a writer and director born in Port-au-Prince and who lives in Montreal, where he joins me from. His previous works include Aiti Toma, The Land of the Living, as well as Karsh's History, and Regular or Super, Views on Mies van der Rohe. Please welcome to the Planta on the Line program, Joseph Hillel. Mr. Hillel, good morning.
Good morning, Joe.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
As I was telling you before we started, I just enjoyed the movie a great deal. These are remarkable people who you profile in the film. These are the four remarkable women. How did you come to pick these four women?
It's interesting. It's a good question. It started with my meeting with Blanche. Blanche Lemko van Ginkel was I knew a little bit about her story about the fact that she saved old Montreal with her husband in the 60s.
Uh-huh.
And I heard in 2004 I heard from someone in architecture at McGill that she was about to visit Montreal and receive a PhD honoris causa.
Yeah.
So I was very curious because I thought that I was not aware that she was still alive, and I managed to go and meet with her just by curiosity. I didn't have nothing in mind. And I met that very charming woman, and was super lively. And I had done some film on architecture before, and I was thinking that if I wanted to go and play on in that field again, it would be nice to have a good character, to do something more human driven,
uh-huh,
character driven. And so when I met with her, I was struck right away. I was charmed, and I decided I would explore that subject. And in the process, I met with her again, and I went to Toronto. And in the process of doing that, I liked the idea of talking about architecture from a feminine point of view,
mm-hmm,
because I was then sensibilized to the trajectory that she has, and like evolving in that boy club, and then I thought about Phyllis instantly after that, and then the two other icons were popped up on. Maybe it's my ignorance. Of course, they must have other women, but they were the four women I thought about continuously.
Yeah, and it, you mentioned that feminine point of view. It really is a practical point of view mm-hmm, about architecture and how our cities work. That we get a sense in your movie City Dreamers. You mentioned the feminine point of view. It's funny how in the film, I think it's Denise Scott Brown who says that she thought that architecture was a woman's profession.
Yes, because her mother was an architect,
right.
And she was very surprised when she arrived at school that she saw all these boys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the other thing that struck me as I'm watching the film, these four women, they're in their 80s, I guess. Is that right?
They are aged between 87 and 97, actually.
Really? Yeah.
That was also a big concern for me because when I started the project, Blanche had 90 years old.
Yeah.
I was always like a bit stressed about that. And
sure.
But very, besides Blanche, Phyllis, Denise, and Cornelia, when I met with them, my mother is 81, and I mean, these women are in super good shape.
Yeah, yeah.
Way more, very, very lively, and still very busy. They all have, they're working all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
But
yeah.
Very, very surprising and impressive.
Yeah. What were you, was there a difficulty in terms of getting them to appear on camera? I mean, were any of the four hesitant, say, to do this?
No, actually, the only problem is that they all have a very busy agenda.
Mm.
So that was my main obstacle. Actually. But they were all, I was very surprised by their generosity. Of course, at the beginning, it's difficult to find the time in the schedule and everything. But they were all super generous, very they found the moment for me, and they gave me more than I was expecting.
And what's also fascinating, Joseph, when we see your film City Dreamers, is you take us to their homes, you take us to these places where they work, and
yes.
It's just fascinating for a viewer to look at these places that they've lived in, that they've worked in, and see how they reflect not only their careers, their characters, but their habits as well. And that must have been fun in terms of the process of filming a movie like this.
Yes. I wanted to be more, I was trying to be intrusive in their bubble, in the place where they spend most of their time.
Mm-hmm.
It was not easy because of their schedule and everything. But and also I must say that the not only these women, but I would say lots of architects I've met, they are kind of a control freak. They you place the chair that way and they're gonna twist it. No, this is better like that. Especially in their environment.
Yeah.
But it was very special. Yesterday, a friend of mine was telling me that I was the right person to do that because I'm generally a shy person. I'm pretty delicate, so I had the white gloves that were perfect for that for that project. And from the moment I put my foot on in the door, they were super welcoming.
Yeah, yeah. I was just thinking about their careers, because they did, because they're around the same age, their careers did have some overlap.
Yes.
Have these four women, have they been in the same room together at all?
I would say I have the feeling that the Canadian woman, Phyllis Lambert, Blanche Temcoven-Ginkel, and Cornelia, they are friends. They know each other very well. I don't know. Blanche and Cornelia, Phyllis and Cornelia, I'm sure they regularly talk to each other.
Uh-huh.
Because I spoke with their relatives, and I understand that they have a regular contact. But Denise, in Philadelphia, she's a bit less. She's a bit less in that group. I understood that they didn't know each other much. They knew about Denise, but they were not connected.
Right. Hey, speaking about Denise Scott Brown, there's a moment in the movie where she talks about her work in Las Vegas and documenting that. And the first time she gets there and just encountering the sights and how overwhelming that might be for some people, she says that what went on in her head was just don't think, just shoot. And I guess that's great advice for a filmmaker too, isn't it?
Definitely. shoot. Yeah. It's looking... the way I'm often work, I start with an idea, but at the same time, I will expect accidents, and I will try to make benefit of these accidents. In that sense, I was aware of the mountain that was in front of me when I started that project. Especially, I could have done. Each of these women could have make a biopic on each of them. They would all deserve one or two. Uh-huh. The amount of work that each of them has done is amazing, but to put them together, that was the biggest challenge I ever had. It was not easy. My approach on it was a bit naive, but in front of that the richness of their I'm sorry, I'm losing their baggage, the amount of work that they have, each of them, uh-huh. was difficult to put together. So the feminine aspect was a good link for me. That was the best way to have that feminine voice, even right. if they don't affirm that feminist aspect. They're not. I wouldn't say that they would all adhere. They would all
identify as feminist.
As feminist, but. Denise, of course,
right.
but I wouldn't say the same thing for the other woman. So I would play on that feminine chord rather than that feminist one.
Yeah, and it's very effective that way. I mentioned a moment ago that they all see architecture from the practical point of view, and the way that we all see architecture, those of us, you know, that say, you know, use it all the time, rather than say, you know, those great designers like Moses or Le Corbusier. How cities should be organized is something that they all talk about in the movie, and this is something that I'm sure they contend with, say, in Montreal, where you're talking to me from, and we certainly talk about it here in Vancouver, is that the people themselves, the citizens themselves, should have a say in what architecture there should be, because we're the ones that interact with these spaces.
Yes, you're talking about their point of view on that, or in general?
In terms of, I mean, that's something that I got in the film, and they all talk about that.
Yes. My aim was rather than doing a biopic, biography on these giants. Uh-huh. it's like a way I was thinking of how can we be more participating in be better citizen. Mm. And this is why I'm hoping that we can transpire from that thing, is how we can be sensibilized about what is happening in our city. And how we can make it more inclusive, more livable, because it's not only the role of the architect, it's also, and I think that they're saying it in the film, is that I hope that their passion can be communicated that way to everyone, not only an elite or people who have the knowledge. We can all do little things to have a greener city, to have a more inclusive. And this is the message that they each carry somehow.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of these buildings. You take the Seagram building in New York. I mean, that was supposed to be an office. Well, that is an office building, I should say. The courthouse in Vancouver, that has a very practical purpose. But at the same time, we all can utilize the space, whether it's the courthouse as a park or the Seagram building, the plaza, say, to a place to have our lunch during the day. And so, as such, anything, and I think Phyllis Lambert says this in your movie, anything that gets built in a city changes
Exactly. And this is, I think that you're right when you mentioned talking about the Seagram, because this is something that is, they all have their roots in the Bauhaus movement. The Bauhaus is that movement that is... I think it's the 100th anniversary this year. Uh-huh. I mean, I have a little segment in the film that talk about the Siam, that congress that was taking place, and they all come up from that school that was putting the human being at this, that was approaching the city in a human scale, and they all have that kind of discourse. It's not only for building or cars, it must be livable,
right? And that's something that Lambert talks about in your movie, that there is that commercial aspect that we have to consider, that you really can't build anything without attracting the money either.
Yes, she's expressing it very clearly. Like from the moment you put the commercial aspect in the equation, it's everything's gone,
right?
And it's pretty manifest in many cities. You can see where these things are happening.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it still happens.
And another a challenge that all of these women talk about in your movie is the idea of whether architecture is an art or a science. And I guess after having done the movie, Joseph, do you have a sense of what it is? I guess it's both, isn't it?
It's both. And I consider these women clearly all artists, passionate artists. I see the scientific aspect, of course, when I see their work, the execution of all this amazing amount of work that each of them has to execute to do something that looks simple. I'm thinking about the amazing amount of knowledge that Cornelia must have acquired to do a work. You think that it's a simple garden, but she has, there's a science between each of her project, and it's amazing. I'm amazed also by the simplicity of the gesture that could not be done without that science.
They're terribly creative people as well, and you know, you mentioned that they're the four of them are between 87 and 97, and yet remain still active. I guess there's a lesson there in terms of how to get older for the rest of us, isn't there?
Absolutely. I know that I won't take any retirement. That's for sure. Now I'm confident of that.
Indeed. Another thing that I was thinking about as I was watching the movie, and they talk about this too, and that's the idea of preservation, historic preservation.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of people that think everything has to be saved, that we can't change everything, but I think it's Phyllis Lambert who says this in your movie, that when she talks about her own activism there in Montreal, that there has to be a lot of thought into what gets saved.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she was because I that was in a position in that segment because Blanche was evoking the fact that the evolution of the city is a normal thing, and we must allow that change to happen.
Mm.
But at the same time, we need to preserve somehow our identity. If you think about preservation, you think about these days. We can think about Notre Dame, who burned last week,
right.
And it's a kind of palimpsest. It's a kind of building that's been built and rebuilt many times, and it's possible because it's we must recognize that it's part of our DNA somehow.
Yeah, and Denise Scott Brown, I think she contends with that in Philadelphia, where.
In a more human aspect, like the neighborhood of South Street.
Right, yeah, because I guess, you know, there was a great move to save everything, but at the end of the day, the people that live there just needed, you know, needed a new building. They didn't want to live in whatever it was that was old.
Yes, that was not, because it was not livable anymore.
Right.
And there's that variable about the old building as well, like and Phyllis is mentioning is that you cannot build it, some building, you cannot build them the way it was. Like you look at Notre Dame, I guess. I'm bringing you to Paris, but I mean they were building in a way that is not possible, that is not observable anymore. So we need to rethink our ways to make it feasible.
Yeah. Well, one wonders, Joseph. Had these four people been born in a different era, what might they have done with their careers? At the same time, I'm thinking about your movie, having just seen it, I think, in a way, they were born in the right era, weren't they?
I don't know if I can answer that, but I see each of them as self-made woman, especially when you're talking about Phyllis. I mean, it's a free spirit. She was born again when she met with Mies van der Rohe. The same way, I feel that impact on Blanche when she's met with Le Corbusier, or Denise and Cornelia, they met with I forgot his name, in Philadelphia. They pay respect to these great modernists
I understand what you're saying. Yeah, they all the people around them.
Yes, Louis. I was saying for Cornelia and Denise, they met with Louis Kahn, mm-hmm. in Philadelphia, and all these encounters, they stimulate them and they push them to go further. But that somehow I think that the modernist movement is very essential in their trajectory.
Right.
They would have met that movement again, because it's a movement that still influenced many people.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say that whatever period they would have arrived, that essential energy that each of them has, that devotion is pretty exceptional.
Indeed. I enjoyed this movie a great deal. Are you working on another movie now?
Yes, so different projects. It's always it's funny because each time I'm doing a film on architecture, I'm always thinking like, okay, this is I'm not doing this right again because I love architecture. Actually, I'm gonna study urbanism. I'm gonna start studying urbanism just for fun.
Yeah.
But it's difficult to. Some people have they think that it's something like it's an intellectual subject and it's not it's not for them. So I have constantly to encounter different, like the broadcaster, my team. There's a big miscomprehension of architecture that I would like to make. I'm doing it in my way to make it more accessible but it's a challenge but it's not as difficult as some people are apprehending it.
Yeah.
So it's way more simple than that. It's a human science. It's like it's not that intellectual.
Yeah. And you get that from watching this movie, City Dreamers, that it's something that we all should be thinking about and being active in, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I definitely believe that, and I hope I can contribute some in my way, in my heart, to share this attraction with others.
Indeed, Joseph. It's been such a pleasure to speak with you today. Congratulations on this movie. It's a really great film, and I'll urge people to go to Doxa and see it.
Thank you very much, Joe. It was a pleasure.
Visit doxafestival.ca for tickets. The two screenings are Sunday, the 5th of March at 5:30 p.m. That's at SFU Woodward's, and Saturday, the 11th, at the Cinematheque at noon. Joseph Hillel joined me on the line for Montreal and Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.